Warning, the Not Real Art Podcast is intended for creative audiences only. The Not Real Art Podcast celebrates creativity and creative culture worldwide. It contains material that is fresh, fun and inspiring and is not suitable for boring old art snobs. Now, let's get started and enjoy the show. Oh, 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 oh.
Greetings and salutations, my creative brothers and sisters. Welcome to Not Real Art, the podcast where we talk to the world's most creative people. I am your host, faithful, trusty, loyal, tireless, relentless host, Sourdough, coming at you from Crew West Studio in Los Angeles. How are you, people? Great seeing you, hearing you. Great being here. Thanks so much for coming through. We do this for you. It's all about you. If it wasn't for you, well, I'd just be talking into a microphone. That would be sad and lonely. So thanks for coming through. Of course, today is the last week of the month, and I'm dropping one of my notorious auditorials where I get on my soapbox and talk about something that's been on my mind, and thought I would do that today for you. And today I'm going to talk about why art is enjoying a renaissance. And I say art, I mean creative arts, visual and performing arts, why I think the arts are enjoying a renaissance today. So I want to talk about that. But before I get into it, I want to thank you again for coming through. Of course, I want to encourage you to go to our website, notrealart.com, and check out all the good, healthy stuff we got for you there. All kinds of fantastic new talent, emerging independent artists coming through. You're going to discover amazing artists and their work. And it's fun, friendly place. Come one, come all. But you're going to discover some amazing talent. You're also going to see some incredible other content, like our First Friday's monthly online art exhibitions, as well as our remote series with the one and only Badir McCleary, exploring the power and the role of public art in the public sphere here from coast to coast in the good old United States of A. So yeah, check out Remote, check out First Fridays, and check out all the other great artists and talent that we have for you there on our website, notrealart.com. Okay, enough for the shameless, selfish plug. Although it's not shameless, we're very proud. And although it is not selfish because we do this for you. So go check out all the good, healthy stuff we got for you at notrealart.com. Okay, why do I think art and the creative arts, the visual and performing arts, are enjoying a renaissance today? And, you know, I guess I'm talking about America specifically. Speak to, obviously, other countries, although I know other countries support art and artists. You know, some countries support art and artists way more effectively than I think sometimes we do in this country. However, without getting into politics, well, I guess this is actually a political kind of conversation, because I think that the creative arts and visual performing arts are enjoying a renaissance in this country for a few different reasons. I think it's kind of a perfect storm of things, okay? I think part of it started, I don't know, 15 years ago. When did the iPhone come out? I think there were product launches like the iPhone that got people excited about design and creativity. I think the iMac, the original iMac, was one of those exciting products that launched that really excited people about the power of design and creativity to take a basic brown box computer and turn it into something delightful and full of color and energy and positive energy. I think that even before that, Target was embracing design with many of their products, working with notable marquee designers, fashion designers, product designers to create, you know, really interesting, bespoke, exclusive product lines, whether it was their notorious toilet brush or their tea kettle. that Target came out with years ago, or some of their fashion. They worked with some notable fashion designers. And so I think that on one hand, over the last 15 years, we have, because of companies like Apple and Target specifically and others, but we as a people, as a society, started realizing like, wait a minute, you know, good design is for us too. Good design doesn't have to cost a lot of money. It can be democratized and it could be for the people as well. And, you know, it was, you know, part of this is why, you know, Target became referred to as Target. People started referring to Target as Target because it was, you know, fancier alternative, you know, to Walmart, for example, right? And so, you know, Walmart was all about cheap goods and Target was about, well, you know, goods that were well designed and slightly, well, very affordable, maybe slightly more expensive than Walmart, but you wouldn't have to, you know, settle. You could get something that looked pretty beautiful, a toilet brush that looked kind of interesting or a tea kettle that looked kind of interesting versus just the standard conventional toilet brush or tea kettle. So, you know, Target did a great job of taking everyday objects and applying the power of design to really, you know, help them build their brand and become, you know, referred to as Target. And of course, Apple embracing design's always embraced design. I mean, of the OS, you know, Apple's operating system, you know, was famously easier to use and more friendly to use than Microsoft Windows or any of these other programs. And then Apple, you know, so Apple always, and Steve Jobs always embraced design and creativity and the liberal arts and the humanities as a way of infusing and informing their product designs and their product launches. And so I think the iMac first, and then the iPod, of course, and then the iPhone. These products really, I think, connected with people and helped to create the conditions whereby, you know, we are enjoying a renaissance of creativity, art, and design today. But that wasn't the only thing. It was a perfect storm, like I said. I think on one hand, you had companies that were launching cool products that sort of raised people's consciousness. You know, if you worked in an office, you know, famously the Aeron chair won all kinds of design awards. I think people started realizing, wait a minute, you know, my desk chair can actually be not just functional and ergonomically healthy, but it can look cool too. And so the Aeron chair launched and was quite popular. But, you know, so that's one part, you know, these companies that are leveraging design in an interesting way. But I think the missing piece here that was even more fundamental that was happening on kind of a parallel path that, you know, unfortunately is sort of the world we live in these days. But over the last 20 years, certainly, if not more, 25 years, as a society, we have been traumatized and we have lost faith in a lot of our pillars of our society. We've lost faith in the fundamental cornerstones of our society and culture. And, you know, I think it all started, you know, quite frankly, with the Catholic Church. I think that, you know, we started losing faith in our religious institutions like the Catholic Church because of scandals like child abusing priests, sexually abusing and traumatizing young children, young boys. So, on a certain level, we had loss of faith in our churches, not just the Catholic Church, but I think, you know, the evangelical Christian churches perhaps, you know, had their own version of scandals, whether it was Rolex wearing, Learjet flying, televangelist preachers pocketing money from unwitting, naive, and idealistic parishioners. And so, you know, over the last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, I think, you know, we have unfortunately lost faith in our churches, you know, in our religions in some way, not our necessarily our spirituality and not necessarily our gods, but in the institutions of the church. And, you know, and I think that that's been an issue that has, you know, been evolving. And, but, you know, religion and church attendance is down. I mean, it's a fact. And so, you know, boy, that's a huge loss, right? I mean, you know, we want to be able to trust that apparently are supposed to be in a moral leadership role and position. And so when we start to doubt and question our priests and our rabbis and our preachers you know, we have bigger issues. And so I think, you know, there's been a general decline in the faith and in the respect and the belief and the trust that we've had in our churches and in our religions over the last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. So that's number one. Number two, we, of course, have lost faith in our corporations, whether it was Enron or, you know, name your any number of scandals. Well, you know, Boeing these days, their fucking planes, you know, doors are flying off in mid-flight. We can't trust Facebook or Google. You know, they're stealing our information. They're stealing our identities. You know, we're living in a surveillance society now because of technology. We're all plugged into the network, into the matrix. And if you don't think you are, well, think again, because you are, because if you're carrying around a smartphone, they're tracking you. And so, you know, we've lost faith in our corporations. We've lost faith in our business. We understand now that, you know, at the end of the day, companies are really out only for the bottom line, not the triple bottom line, not the, you know, goodwill that they might be creating, you know, or the good they might be doing for, you know, society or the environment. I think we've all learned that, you know, at the end of the day, that's all window dressing, greenwashing bullshit. Companies only care about the bottom line, the shareholder value. And so in the pursuit of profits, ethics, values get squashed in the name of the almighty dollar. And whether it was the, you know, crash of the 08 real estate debacle, you know, the insurance scandals, the cheap mortgages that left so many people in a very tough economic situation and unfortunately caused, I think, a lot of people to become unhoused, as we say now. We've realized over the last, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, more than ever, that companies only really give a shit about money. They don't give a shit about us. And, you know, and they're greedy motherfuckers that are going to do what they can to make a buck. And if that means not repairing railroads so that trains stay on them and don't fall over and contaminate whole communities, or whether it's, boy, you know, like I said, Boeing or any number of issues with companies that are corrupt. And, you know, listen, to be clear, I don't really blame capitalism. I blame human greed. And whether it's capitalism or socialism, the issue is human greed, because at the end of the day, greed is going to corrupt, you know, any kind of economic model at the end of the day. So anyway, so over the last, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, we've lost faith in our churches. We've lost faith in our corporations. And of course, in the last 5, 10, 15 years, sadly, unfortunately, we've lost faith in our government. We see a dysfunctional DC. We see a dysfunctional Congress, a dysfunctional House of Representatives. We see, you know, crazy presidential elections where we seem to only have old guys to old white guys to vote for. And, you know, that maybe wouldn't matter so much if the government was actually functioning and working, which it's not. And then, of course, that trickles down from the federal to the state to the local. And, you know, we see how even our local governments aren't functioning. Our state governments aren't functioning. We pay a ton of taxes and we get a little benefit for it. And so, you know, we're losing faith and have lost faith, sadly, in the institutions of government. You know, personally, I'm still, you know, optimistic. I have to be hopeful and optimistic. I have kids. We don't get the democracy we deserve. We get the democracy we make. So it's really up to us. And that's the thing I think a lot of people fail to realize. But, you know, here we are. And so we've created a scenario whereby, you know, the government, for any number of reasons, has become dysfunctional and has become incredibly divided and partisan and tribal. And, you know, we're fighting culture wars now rather than designing policies that work for real people like you and me. And so we've just lost faith. We've lost faith in our government, or at least we're losing faith. We don't have much to believe in when we look in here about what's going on in D.C. and in the state houses. And so, and with gerrymandering and the voter suppression and, you know, all the things that, you know, the status quo, the power structure wants to do to hold on to power. I mean, it does not bode well, right, for faith and trust in the system, right? So we have, you know, all these things coming together. And then, of course, because of the partisanship in the politics and social media, you know, unfortunately, we've lost faith in our neighbors and in our communities. You know, how well do you know your neighbors? I try to know my neighbors, but, you know, at the end of the day, I think that social media has brought people close together, farther apart, and people farther apart, closer together. And I think it's kind of eroded local community, neighborly rapport. You know, that's toxic. That's corrosive, because in a democracy, you know, they say, you know, all politics are local. If you don't know your neighbors, if you don't have faith in your local city government or town government, you know, it's going to be stressful. It's going to be anxiety ridden. You're going to, you know, grasp at straws. So what do we do? What do we do? Because on one hand, we've lost faith in our major institutions, religion and church and corporate America and the American government, while, of course, we see companies, you know, like I mentioned earlier, sort of launching interesting products, you know, that look cool and are interesting. And I think over the last, you know, what we have is over the last 15, 20 years, you know, the stage has been set for a renaissance in art and in the creative arts and the visual and performing arts. Because, you know, what's left when you've lost faith in your church and your company and your government? What's left when you've lost faith in your neighbors and your local community and your local government and your, you know, federal government and your church, your local church, and the company you work for? And they chase profit, you know, without regard for ethics. And maybe they've, you know, cut you loose, you know, just to save money in spite, you know, of being there for 20 years. And so the conditions are ripe for a rethink, certainly. What's left when you feel like all the fundamentals have lost their integrity and you've lost trust in the cornerstones of our societies? What's left? Well, I would speculate that art and artists are left. I mean, if you're looking for integrity, if you're looking for honesty, and if you're looking for purity, and you're looking for truth, and you're looking for empathy and compassion, and you're looking for intelligence, what better place to look than the visual and performing arts? And I think that in our country over the last many years, you know, the conditions have come together such that art in the creative arts and the visual performing arts are enjoying a renaissance today, because we've lost faith in everything else. And if you're looking for truth and you're looking for intelligence and you're looking for transparency and you're looking for integrity and values, the arts is a fantastic place to look. And I'm not talking about the art business, because of course the art business is corrupt as any other business in many ways. I'm talking about artists, and I'm talking about art, the actual cultural output of artists, whether they're musicians or writers or actors or comedians or visual painters or sculptors. You know, these are harbingers of truth and intelligence and honesty and integrity and character and values. And I think there's a, you know, art and artists, you know, command a respect, because I think most people realize that when it comes to art and artists, that there is a truth there and there's a purity there, and there's a, they're not corrupt, greedy priests or business people or politicians. And so when you're looking for a harbor of peace and truth and honesty and integrity, I would say that art and the artists that make art are a fantastic source to tap into when you're feeling like everything around you is perhaps losing its credibility and losing your trust. And where do you go to find some peace and some honesty and some truth? Well, go look at art, go meet some artists, because in my experience, you're going to be inspired and you're going to find positive energy that will give you faith and hope and trust in our country, in our communities, and in ourselves. I think art and artists can bring that to us, and thank goodness for that. It's a beauty and it's a gift, and it transcends so much of the human condition. I think that's part of the role of artists and art, to give us hope in ourselves, give us hope in each other, give us hope in the future. Because, you know, I know there's a lot to point at and feel negative about, but I don't know about you. When I meet a great artist or I see some amazing art, it gives me hope in people, it gives me hope in our country, it gives me hope in the world, and it gives me hope in the future. I think it will too for you. So that's my two cents. That's why I think
that creative arts and visual performing arts today are enjoying a renaissance in America, because quite frankly, you know, if you're looking for something honest and truthful with integrity and honor, I think artists and art is a great place to go when you've lost faith in your government and your employer, corporate America, or in your local church. Embrace an artist and go look at some art, because it'll give you hope. And I think that's why we're enjoying a renaissance, because it's kind of all we got left until the church, until the government, until corporate America gets our act back together. I think art and artists are going to help us get through and find peace and hope in the day to day. So that's my two cents. That's my auditorial for the day. Hope you got something out of it. I appreciate you guys coming through. Thanks again. Sourdough over and out.
Thanks for listening to the Not Real Art Podcast. Please make sure to like this episode, write a review, and share with your friends on social. Also, remember to subscribe so you get all of our new episodes. Not Real Art is produced by Crew West Studios in Los Angeles. Our theme music was created by Ricky Peugeot and Desi DeLauro from the band Parlor Social. Not Real Art is created by We Edit Podcasts and hosted by Captivate. Thanks again for listening to Not Real Art. We'll be back soon with another inspiring episode celebrating creative culture and the artists who make it.